name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Wish to tell you today about a young lady whose name is Mirth Ann. She is 16, very bright girl, and a very pretty girl. She is a good student, and she takes after her father in having a very sensible approach to her life. She's still in high school, but already she has made her plans, what she's going to do after high school, which is go to college. She has her head set on being an airline pilot. As you know, days gone by, young ladies aspired to be what they called in those days stewardesses. Now they call them flight attendants because they are both male and female. And it's not enough nowadays for young ladies to be that. You probably know as well as I that it's not easy to be a pilot on one of these big jet commercial liners, but that's what she hopes to do. And she's already anticipating the day when she gets her wings and all that kind of thing. But what she doesn't know yet is that God has other plans for her. God wants to make her a nun. As I say, she does not know this yet. But curiously to her, now and then the thought of the sisterhood crops up in her mind. And she does not know what to do about it. I mention this particular person because this is March, which has always been dedicated by the church, in this country at least, to vocations. And it is our place to remind parents that they should help direct their children toward the finding of their vocations. And you young people, even in your grades, should be thinking about what God wants you to do. What is going to happen to this young lady is that she is going to finish school with flying colors, and she's going to go into college, and she is going to be successful at her work. But what is also going to happen is that more and more frequently this thought is going to recur. She is going to be, on the one hand, annoyed with it because she doesn't want it. And still she has her weak moments, so that on the other hand, she allows the thought to remain with a certain wistfulness. Now, if you know this young lady, you know that she would not be interested in being one of these half-baked sisters who are so proud of their independence and who are so anxious to prove that they are everything that any liberated woman is. No, Mirth Ann's idea of a sister is the old-fashioned type, the traditional type, with the full habit, with the downcast eyes, the strict way of life, the life of prayer and the life of seeking Christ, the life of living for Him only, and indeed of trying to be a saint. As I say, this thought is going to get larger and larger in her consideration, so that by the end of her college courses, she is going to have abandoned her high-flown notions about being a pilot, and she's going to go into a convent. And when I look at a group of Catholic people such as this with their children, I cannot help but ask the question, I wonder if there are any girls in our group who may be called to this life themselves. Or are there any boys in this group who are called to the priesthood or to the brotherhood? You boys, whether you've given it any thought or not, I'm not going to be around forever. You just have no idea how hard and harder it gets to be every day to get out of bed. Sometimes when I get out of bed and go running, I have to stop at 10 miles. I want to tell you young people about what one has to do, how one has to think about his vocation. Now, you understand, everybody in the true church is called to something. There are three vocations in the Catholic Church, and a vocation is a strictly Catholic concept, because a vocation is the way that everyone in the church is called to serve Christ. There is the vocation of marriage, which is the most common. And this vocation calls for one raising a family for the service of the church, and to give the church vocations again of parenthood or of the religious life or the single life. The single life is also a vocation in God's scheme of things. And anyone who is called to it must recognize it and must live that life with a voluntariness. He's not supposed to think of himself as having just been left out. He's supposed to think of himself as having been called to that form of life for the church. And he's supposed to have more time for the church. There are things that he can do in the world, in the service of the church, better than anyone else. And of course, the third life is that of religion. And what the parents must remind their children of is that in order to find a vocation, there are certain things necessary. We can boil them down to three main things. The first is that they must live moral lives, which means they must keep the commandments. One does not find what God wants him to do while one is breaking God's law. Especially we must mention the virtue of purity. And during the teenage years and the 20s, everybody knows that the devil tries to break, to bring down those who are striving to serve God and to remain pure. And everybody knows that it is a great failure if anyone loses his purity, his virginity. Everybody knows that that is an irreparable loss. I'm sure you know that according to the scriptures, according to the last book of the Bible, there is a special place in heaven, a special crown set aside for those who maintain their virginity for Christ throughout their lives. There are two special crowns mentioned in this book, a crown of martyrdom and the crown of virginity. The second thing that is necessary for a vocation is that young people must pray every day to the Holy Ghost that He will guide them and direct them to the way that God has in mind for them. Remember that God has this in mind from all eternity. Indeed, when God thinks of this person, He thinks of this person in that vocation even before the person is born. And in order to find this way and to be happy in this way, it is necessary for the person to respond to the voice of the Spirit within his heart. But he must cultivate this relationship with the Holy Ghost so that he can hear that voice and so that he can recognize it as being true. The third thing is also very essential, and that is the virtue of charity, also expressed by the words selflessness or unselfishness. There is no place in God's plan for selfish persons. If anyone's marriage is miserable, mainly it is because one or the other or both of them are just plain selfish, have never learned to give up their wills. And if anyone is unpleasant, or I should say unhappy, in the priesthood or the religious life, basically it is because the person is selfish and is not living the life as Christ would have him live it. And if you want to be happy in this world, and surely if you have any idea of doing what God wants you to do, you must learn to sacrifice your own will to do what has to be done, not what you want to be done or to have done for you. I urge all of you, therefore, to think on this. Think of your own vocation and think of the vocations of your children, and all of us ought to pray that all of our children find what God wants them to do. Nothing is more tragic than to see how people just fall into situations and are more or less stuck by circumstances and by their own errors in those situations. They never really choose, and they never see their lives as having been designed from on high. They never imagine that God, from the very beginning, had very happy and holy plans for them. Let us therefore make it a matter of our devotion here at the Priory to pray for all of our young people, that they may find out what God has in store. Because to find one's vocation is a happy, happy gift. And to be happy in one's vocation is the closest thing to heaven that one can have on earth. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.